I bowed my curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all.
But knowledge and truth. Okay, yes, indeed. I'm going to do something very difficult right now. I'm just going to bring in, well, it's a bit difficult for me. I don't think I've ever done it. I'm going to bring in Studio A as well into this call. And
Eastern Time.
There we go.
It is time for the Fenton Perspective with Florian Fenton.
Well, yes, indeed. Yes, I hope I'm not going to get too much echo out of this. This is JP. I've been asked by Lorian to look after her slot while she's I don't know, she's travelling somewhere or I'll just check. I do everything in a panic these days, you know. I just need to do this and jump off and jump on and jump back and welcome to the entire Revolution Radio Station. I have no guest, so I'd really like to create something unique and enlightening and evolutionary. So if you have anything to add to those kind of things, or indeed if you want to just come in for a chat, I'd rather not talk about the details of wars, because that's just a meme. It's just something to make everybody frightened. We don't need to talk about that sort of things, because, you know, like they say, wars and rumors of wars, they're just to make you scared. And I'm not into making you scared. I'm into making you feel love, because that's what's going to make everything better and make the things work and flow. So if you want to call, you can call in on both of the telephone numbers, which is something that I can never remember. There we are. They can call in on 347-688-2902. And certainly you can call in on 310-414053. Our first guest that's lovely. Yeah, so we're gonna bring in. He just volunteered himself to connect with us. Good evening, Rob. How are you? You just volunteered.
Hello. Cheers, my friend.
So
make it through.
Yeah, you're coming through wall to wall, treetop tall, with a slight room echo of about 5 milliseconds.
okay, good.
Yeah, how's he doing?
I'm doing good. I had some good laughs this afternoon, and I just want to thank you for your intelligent comic approach to things, and it really enlightened me, and it made me laugh, and it was just really good. I did some investigation with the Nun.
Oh, did you read the Nun story? Okay, so just to explain to people, those who are not familiar with my Studio B situation, I have created a website reflecting a certain area of research that I've done. Particularly, I started off with, I just got migraines, migraines. I would get headaches when I didn't know why I got headaches, but my ex-wife at the time said, well, you probably got some sort of allergy. And that's a thought. And I found that I had a milk allergy at some point. But I kind of got over it. Things got better. Anyway, later on, I'm feeling rather ill every time I eat bread. But I didn't figure it out. And it all also came to me, what's this gluten-free thing? Let's try some of this. And I didn't get the headache, so I thought, maybe I'd better avoid this. And then I started researching it, and I discovered that there was a parasite living in my body that kept me stupid. It kept me also in a state of perpetual craving. It would crave sugar, I would, feel high and low and low and high, and it would be quite difficult. to live with, and that was my normal life. And I think, you know, 99% of people also have the same thing, because this parasite is something that is a development of what happens when yeast gets into your body. You know, it doesn't stay in the gut, it goes into your body. And if you've ever seen a here's my girlfriend's analogy, if you leave a loaf of bread for a few weeks and you see what happens to that, well, that's what happens inside your body, you see. And all of those little parts gather together form little colonies. You know, you could say that they were like towns in a county, you know, and they all communicate with each other. You've got telephone lines between them. And what then happens is that these telephone lines can also jack into our nervous system and then start dictating. Oh, don't you fancy that little donut over there? Doesn't it look kind of all shiny and delicious, you know? It gives you these thoughts and gives you these cravings.
Yeah.
So Rob, you know, your nung is bursting. Speak to us.
It wants more. I think it has an energy of more.
More and more and more. More and more and more and more and more. That's its energy, isn't it?
And what I find interesting is that in our normal system, you know, it would go down our track, but what this is, it actually like jumps the track and goes elsewhere. Would you agree? Like it actually like attaches where it shouldn't be.
Here's the thing. Wheat is pointy, like little darts, isn't it? If you look at a wheat sheaf, they got little darts at the top. And the molecules of wheat, the small cells of wheat, they're all like that as well. And so they tear your gut wall, which is only like one cell thick.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know,
you don't even know it.
If you think about, you know, people think, oh, my guts, they're like, you know, really thick, like pipes. No, if you ever look at a sausage, look at the skin of a sausage, that is what a gut wall is. Sorry, folks, but that's what it is. It's a gut wall. And that's how thin or thick your gut wall is. It's quite strong. It's really strong. But if you stick a pin in it, it'll tear. You can stick a fork in sausage, it'll tear. So that's what happens. It comes out through those holes. Go ahead.
And it's pointy. The wheat is, it has a sharp, like, tip, you're saying.
Yeah.
It's almost like a silent invader.
Yeah. It's like a two-part, you know, like a special operations team. One goes in, cuts the fence, and the other one goes in and infiltrates.
Right, it's like a team. It goes in, and then once it's in, it says, okay, send in more stuff. We need more.
Exactly. Now, keep going. Share with the people your experiences.
Well, with the nung, or the acknowledgement of it, the consciousness of it, or, you know, you know, I think an awareness of it is important, and I'm really glad you brought light to it, because it's something that, you know, people, mainstream society, they just don't understand, you know, IBS, leaky gut, you know, there's different forms of what this is, but you've taken it to a whole nother level, JP, and I don't know why I want to say I put a little comedy to it, but, I mean, you know, could there be, like, a Lord Nung?
I find your lack of faith disappointing. Here's Australian Paul. Let's see what happens here.
But yeah, since you wanted me to share about some of my laughs, you know, I had some laughs, but then I also had a reality of, you know, a consciousness that's like, you know, this is maybe not something to laugh about, because it expands, you know, and it needs to be under control. And I think, like you say, you know, our pH level, our levels of yeast and wheat, you know, it's something that, I mean, help us manage it. You know, we need nung management.
Well, this is, and it gets bigger. I mean, this thing scales up. But before we scale it up to galactic proportions, let's flip the planet over. We've got someone in Australia.
Nice.
Joining us, linking up the world, three points. Good afternoon, Paul. Good morning. Where are you? What is it?
I am.
What the heck time is it though over there? It's a good morning, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's morning at the moment. It's coming up to afternoon very, very soon. But yeah, it's about 11:30.
It's 11's time. So, do you have a couple of tinnies?
Actually, no, it's 12, actually. No, it is 12, sorry. No, at the moment... A
couple of tinnies for lunch?
No, not yet. I do that at night time. It's actually quite a balmy day. Well, I can say balmy because I'm talking to everyone around the world. And if you don't know what balmy means, look up cricket, and especially the English.
It makes it grass.
Yeah, it means
well, hello. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Hi, Eagle.
Hey, it's good to hear you. JP and I were talking about the Nung. Did you get to hear the opening there?
Yes, about the wheat and the, all the others.
Don't want to run the show here, but can you share your experience with the Nung?
Well, my experience is putting it into hay bales and stuff like that, and feeding them to sheep, and my sheep's doing really well. Wherever says hello to all, Mum's fattening him right up, and he's next to another sheep next door at me Mum's house. So yeah, he's having a ball. In fact, he's been a sheep. He attacked the rose garden with the other sheep, and that was funny. Yeah.
Paul, I didn't say Mum, I said Nung.
Sorry.
He can't. He may be not so familiar with the Journeys crew. So, Paul,
yeah. Expand. Yeah.
So, what is?
Please do.
Yeah. Well, what we're talking about is the parasitic infection that everybody has that nobody knows about. It's so complete and so big, and it causes the cravings for tinnies. In fact. Or anything sugary or yeasty. If anybody's got anything that has anything like a craving for sugar, sweet things or yeasty things, then you're under the influence of what I call the Nung, because the Nung it's got a consciousness. Now, are you with me so far?
Yes.
So. Some people call it candida. Other people call it thrush. Yes, that's horrible, thrush. But it's the same thing. Some people call it all sorts of things. Irritable bowel.
Tinea? Well, tinea and that, or nail infections is also through yeast.
That's right. That's right. Because what it is that... your sickness goes out through your toes and your fingers. Have you noticed that? That when you get better, the symptoms go down the body. You might not notice, but you discharge through your feet, and it makes sense.
It's funny. My feet always sweat, and I've never had a yeast infection or a nail infection in my life. I don't know. Probably because there's too much dirt on it or mud and whatever I do during my life. But it's never happened. So I'm one of the lucky rare ones. So the only time that I have problems like that is if I hit myself with a hammer or something silly.
Well, that's just being amateurish. So look, boom. No, be quiet. So look, this is about something, if you know anybody who's fat, if you know anybody who's like an alcoholic, they're all affected in some way by this thing. Now, it doesn't have to be, because basically, it's not fat. It's not. It's loaf. It's the same as loaf. If you ever put yeast in with sugar and water, it just fizzes up, doesn't it? That's what happens inside our bodies, inside the little cavities inside our bodies. So it's not fat. It's a sort of loaf thing.
Yeah, it's like a plaque infection type of thing.
Like a what infection?
A plaque.
Plaque, yes, indeed. Yeah, which is another culture. that grows in us. And there is a remedy. There are plenty of remedies. As long as you understand what you're dealing with, you understand how to deal with it. Number one, stop feeding it.
And it's really, if you think about it, it's pretty fascinating how something in your body can send a signal trigger to your mind, which then gives you the thought, more. Mm-hmm. I want, it's like that's a powerful entity within you, and it's something we should keep aware of, laugh or not.
Well, it's hijacked your nervous system. It's like setting off some, it knows how, like when a kid's in school and it goes to the fire alarm system and just kind of, without anybody looking in the corridor, slams the fire system so that the alarm bells go off. It's just jacking in. You're not really hungry, but it's jacking into the same kind of hunger switch that your body has, and that your stomach would normally do. So you tend to eat more. Because it's just switching this thing on all the time.
Loaf consciousness.
Loaf consciousness, yeah. People, and what happens? You end up like a loaf on the couch. They should call them couch loaves, not couch potatoes. Because at least potatoes are healthy. The grounding. God, love potatoes.
Paul, you avoid all that stuff, right? You got a nice slim.
What do you eat over there?
Well, actually, I eat healthy. I try.
You eat healthy people.
Long pig tastes great if you try and catch them and skewer them correctly.
But make sure they're well cooked because you get the diseases off them,
Well, absolutely. You got to get the healthy ones, No, actually, organic stuff. Dougie and I, we've got our garden over his house and here and this and that and, we try and grow most. We just had a bunch of snow peas, and we got string beans, cherry tomatoes, and everything growing. It's great. We've been having a lovely summer, and it's turning into autumn soon. But potatoes, onions. I like good old stir fries. Throw all the lovely veggies together and just whip it up. A little bit of meat. And my favorite, soy sauce. Other than that, it's good because it's actually still summer. So.
Sounds like a good menu, Paul. Good denunging vegetables.
That's right. So, essentially, there's this thing that is known as the paleo diet. And a lot of people are sort of getting into that. And it's essentially what humans ate before the invasion, wherever they came from, and however, wherever they might have arrived, but most people think they arrived somewhere in Egypt or in that area. But those of you who are familiar with a bit of Egyptian history, or even vaguely familiar with Egyptian mythology, is that they say that Ra gave bread and alcoholic drinks to his slaves. Keep them happy. Bread and circuses. Bread and beer. I take the radical, perhaps radical, attitude that he was actually using that for mind control. And that what we have as bread and beer these days is a descendant of that, and some of it is still weaponized. And it's essentially it's a weaponized food. What do you think of that?
So Ra was playing Lord Nung a little.
Yeah, he introduced Lord Nung. I have a job for you, Lord Nung.
My master? Held back the... I guess the term is slaves. It really kept them in shape, you would say, JP. Kept them docile, like you said, bread and circuses. And kept them, in a position of, submission, to do what they needed to do. And the Lord Nung, placed that within them. He already knew.
It's, as I said, I believe it's weaponized. And look at society today. It's sluggish. It it's angry all the time. It's firing off at people inappropriately. Because
you mean pizza and hamburgers everywhere?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Everywhere.
Beer, pizza, hamburgers. Hamburgers, pizza, beer.
Hamburgers, pizza, pizza, hamburgers. Don't forget the hot dog. Hey, but don't forget a Subway sandwich. Ooh,
oh,
boy.
Subway. Oh, just I remember all
bring
these things.
Bring on the dung.
I remember all these things. I remember the Subway as it tears that hole in the space between your tooth and your gum. Yeah, I remember Subways. It's like eating food that's covered in a coating of razor blades. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, great stuff.
Well, it's relevant because, like you said, it's everywhere. You know, the Nung has expanded itself. You know, it's
the Nung is everywhere, Neil.
Come on the odd occasion, KFC or McDonald's are okay. You know, once
Mackers? It's all over Mackers.
I know, it's so funny, eh? But yeah, once in a while, I might shout myself to a Big Mac and throw away one patty and reduce the other patty and then just eat the rest of it.
Exactly. But, I prefer Burger King. You get a much more fresh stuff in Burger King's. And anyway, I just want to add that I don't know if Starlight's going, but thanks, Starlight. She put through things. Is that oxygen and ozone machine, pumpkin seeds, and
good stuff.
All good stuff. Yeah, pumpkin seeds is great. That's a good one. I've not heard that. I'll go through some remedies after the in a little while. But please go ahead, Paul.
Oh, well, the ozone machine used to be the old catheter tubes, TVs. That used to pump out ozone in when you plug it in. You know, the old TVs where you used to turn it on, and then you wait for 5 minutes, and it slowly comes to life. 9 out of 10 times it was a black and white TV for everyone out there.
Oh, the tube TVs from the 60s.
Yeah. They were actually ozone machines.
Oh, they generate ozone by the cathode rays, yeah.
Yep, for the cathode ray tube, yes.
I always remember the tiny hairs on my face standing up when I was really close to the TV screen.
Yeah. Put your hand and all your hair on your arm. All the hairs stand up when you go too close to the TV. Yeah. That's because it was called the catheter ray tube.
Same with the balloon.
Yeah, catheters are a different thing, I have to say. You know, because when you said catheters, I thought, no, we can't be talking about catheter on stream. Oh, no, please don't talk about catheters. But anyway, we won't talk about catheters. Cathodes, yes, cathode ray tubes, indeed. Do you know every cathode ray tube was still licensed to Philips? So that's why they were so keen to get away and, you know, have LCD screens and all these other screens, because they were every TV had to pay a license to Philips.
Magnavox.
There you go. Meanwhile,
it was so funny. Back in the day when my grandma brought a TV, you had to get a TV license. Do you remember that?
In Britain, there still is a TV license, there's all sorts of. there's this famous court case where a guy was taken to court, and you can check this out. It's very, very true, and he was completely vindicated, but it was completely buried by the press. He was fined for not having a TV license by the BBC, so he fined him back and said, you know, or he allowed it to go to court. I'm not paying for this TV license because that would be contributing to a criminal organization, and I can prove it. And so they said, all right, well, we'll take you to court. And they were going, yeah, right. Surely you can't prove the BBC to be a criminal organization. See, your dog's correct. When he did come to court, he showed them film of the BBC World Service transmission on 9/11, where the newsreader, poor girl, she goes down in history as being the biggest liar. The poor girl, she's reading this script out that's written for her, and in the background is Building 7 that she just says has fallen down. and it falls down like 10 minutes later. So you say, in the back. And that's an obvious proof that the BBC were complicit in this terrorist act, and therefore were a terrorist organisation, or at least a terrorist supporting organisation, which he rightfully refused to pay. And therefore, he won the case. Boom. BBC are criminals. And so, in a strange kind of way, the whole thing is true. You know, the whole 9/11 is an inside job has been proved in a British court. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Cortec. There it is in the Revolution chat room. Realities Watch, UK man wins court case against BBC for 9/11 cover-up.
Powerful.
It says here.
Took in a stand on something small and look what it turned into. It's great.
So, anyway, meanwhile, you had a TV license.
No, I didn't have a TV license. My grandparents did back in the day. And that was only black and white TV. And the license was actually almost as expensive as the TV. So, yeah. But they phased that out in the early 70s. Or just coming up to the 70s, I think. And then I was born. So we had black and white TV and then graduated to colour. And we had an Atari system back in the day, playing Pong. So, yeah, how cool was that back in the day? You know how computers have evolved and what's happening now? Oh my gosh, it's extreme. Your turn.
Well, the thing about Ataris was that they were, there's still some people who use them because they do, you know, you switch them on and they're booted up. They're really fast. And you can still do real-time art drawing, like live, onto a projector screen in real-time with these things on Atari, and drag in icons and all sorts of things. It's a bit 8-bit, but it's quite fun. So, meanwhile...
You gotta admit, I loved Atari, and it brought a lot of fun. You know, I didn't really own one, but my neighbor did, and my friend, and we went over to his house after school, and we played combat, and, you know, all kinds of fun games, you know, and you know, Atari, I think it didn't go out of business, but it really never did, you know.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing. You can probably get simulators these days. Anyway, We're straying from the point, right? And,
yes.
And here's the thing, right? This is one of the things that nobody wants to talk about. It's a really uncomfortable subject, which is why I like to bring it up in front of a million people. You know, because it's everywhere. It really is everywhere. And you just have to have a glass of milk left for like 8 or 9 hours, and you'll see it starting to... you know, there's stuff starting to go on in the milk. You just leave a loaf of bread around and boom, you know, a couple of days it starts to go a bit blue, and in a few weeks that's what it looks like inside you. Yes. And you see those threads? Those threads are what form long connections between different colonies, and those are communications lines, and they jack in, as I said, they jack into your nerves, which are also long lines that kind of connect different nodes. So they're kind of like pirate tackers who are jacking into a TV feed. They're jacking straight into the brain and saying, isn't that cake looks nice, doesn't it? It's nice and soft. All right, let me just introduce everybody to their Nung. You're standing in front of your oven. You've just had a lovely day, and you've just been cleaning up because you've just made some bread and about half an hour ago, and you've just cleaned up, and everything's clean. You take you go up to the oven, and you can feel the heat on your face from the oven, and you can smell that lovely crusty smell, and just open up the oven, and you know that it's going to be like 10, 12, 15 minutes before this bread is cool enough that you can take a nice slice of it. Hang on a second. Wait for it. You got to feel this. Just feel it in your body, right? You get your slice of bread and you get your it's just warm enough to make the butter nice and soft, and you might even cheat and like cut the corners, cut the crust off, you know, because you know what you really want to do is take that lovely warm doughy bread, and just put it in your mouth and go nung 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 nung. All right, and that's why I call it the nung, because it's a basic consciousness. It's a basic word. And so there is your nung. If your mouth is watering at any of this, and if you're feeling the urge to go and eat some bread, then that's your nung talking. That's not you. You?
Well, actually, yeah. That's funny, actually, because it's lunchtime here. and you're talking about freshly baked bread. Yes. I don't really think it's a nung. I think it's,
hunger.
Says mum too.
Yeah, and yeah. Well, if it's not every couple of hours, you know, if you're living a relatively healthy life and you haven't got candida overgrowth, you're fine. I say everybody, it's really like, it's as near as damn it to everybody, apart from people who really, really concentrate on living a very, very healthy life. And most of the time, if they're doing that, they're not eating bread. They're not eating pizza, hamburger, you know. They're cooking their own food, you know, growing your own food, doing the right thing. So, well done in avoiding the nung, because that's what everybody else is. That's why you don't eat it.
Yeah, I don't eat bread all the time, but when you described it like that, I'm pretty sure everyone wanted to have a slice. Even mum was going, oh my God, gosh, you wanted to have some too.
Paul, what's interesting about what JP said is they still want a slice, and later on they're going to think about the show here with Journeys, and that's going to reconstitute another thought for another slice. It's that powerful. Would you agree, JP?
That's right. And Ray's just joining in. He says, give us our daily bread. You know, it's like, it's part of the, even the Lord's Prayer is part of the whole propaganda system. You know, it is. It's, you know, you think bread, oh, it's my human right to eat bread. Well, is it? And does everybody in the, well, most people in the world have something that is like a bread, but not all of them are leavened. You know, they're risen. You know, most countries in the world, until Egypt, probably, and then Rome with the pizza there, so you can see where we're going with this, didn't have a risen bread. They had flatbread, you know, flatbreads, chapati. I can't remember the names of all these things, but most of the breads of the world are flatbreads. You know, they're just like wheat. That's it. Maybe some sugar.
In Australia, we've got a thing called damper, right? Which is just normal flour, a little bit of baking soda, knead it with some butter, and cook it on a camp oven, preferably on coals, not a roaring fire. And yeah. great thing, old school, simple to do, feeling, and good for you.
So there you go, the Lord of Bread. So yeah, nungi.
Well, no, this is when you're actually running around and you actually need to put it into your system so you can actually carry on the next day.
Well, yeah. And that's the natural food cycle. So how many times a day do you eat?
But also, you go get grasses and put it into that and make a salad. And then my favourite, I like vinegar. So, I'd come prepared with salt, vinegar, and other things. So that's all cool. But I don't eat bread. I probably eat bread about 3 times every fortnight or so. but not much.
Oh, well, there you go. So you obviously, you know, you're not affected by this thing. And one of the main things is it's the overgrowth of it. It sometimes happens as a result of antibiotic treatment. Because what happens is the antibiotics kill off all your good bacteria, and the candida is a natural part of your body. It's a natural thing. It gets out of balance and it overtakes. It's a bit like the military-industrial complex.
You've brought a good one into this topic at the moment.
Yeah.
Pills. People who pop pills for any ailment. Hey.
There you go. Luck to you. Yeah, you're opening the gates there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even take Panadol. Maybe once or twice a year I'll have Panadol for it, because I've hurt myself in extreme pain. But other than that, yeah, that's about it. I don't pop pills, never will. Don't take vitamin supplements or whatnot. It's better getting it fresh. You're good.
So, we are going to be joined in a second by Debrielle. We're going to go over to Shasta there. Where are we? Ah, I thought, yeah, I had to group call her. Oh, yeah, there we go. Let's see if I can bring her in on Skype. If not, I'll bring her on the phone. Oh, no, she's not got Skype going. Hang on, I'll try the other call, the other number. But we've had some good results. There we go. And we're just bringing in Deborah there, coming in from...
Hello, Nung.
Northern California. Namaste. How are you?
Namaste. I'm good. I don't know why I was having so much trouble getting through any of the lines. But...
Well, I've got so many windows open, it's probably my computer. I've got three rows of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got 29 windows open on my two screens.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because I tried three numbers. I've never had all three go. No all answer.
Right. Well, are you guys coming in by Skype or coming by phone?
Them. Yeah.
Paul, did you come in by phone or by Skype?
I'm on Skype, bro.
Oh, you're on Skype. All right. Thanks a lot.
That's
right. So, Deb. The nun.
Yes.
What's...
Oh, I'm going to tell my nun story.
Tell us your nun stories, please.
It's bad. It's a bad nun story. We're still in process of the nun. It's a constant battle with me. I am overweight. I'm heavy. I've been heavy ever since like 21, since I had a big surgery. And my main nun addiction... I do pretty well. Well, lately I haven't, with bread and pizza, of course, but I don't keep any of that in the house. But it's soda. Soda is my main craving. So I'm constantly on and off of it. And I have not won the battle yet. So, and I'm still heavy too. I'm still very loaf-like.
So, you know, it's it can be so all pervasive, and it seems to be insurmountable.
It does.
Because it's everywhere.
And I'll do good for a long time, and it only takes one little bit. Like, it's like an alcoholic. I cannot have even one soda as, I think, a treat, because it will start the whole thing over.
That's right. It's a cycle, because it starts this growth and die-off cycle. And the die-off makes you feel terrible. So you think, oh, how will I feel better? Oh, well, I'll feel better if I have something to...
feel yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And our consciousness...
I've even done those Candida diets, and those are... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
there is a bad die-off reaction to those. You do have to... go through that terrible feeling, you know?
Yeah, and that's really the obstacle that people have with this whole thing is, what happens when I stop eating sugar? I'm going to feel bad. I need sugar. We all need sugar, don't
right.
we? How much sugar do we need? Actually, to be honest, brothers and sisters, very, very, very little sugar.
Right.
You'll notice from the previous speaker, Paul, you know, he wasn't talking about eating sugar in any form.
Right.
Talking about lettuces and you know, maybe some meats and some breads, but, you know, very little in the sugar department. And it's the flour sugar thing is your double weaponized whammy of mind control, Bread and Circus's numb control.
It's true, and it'll sneak up on you. Like, soda gets me right away, but say I don't have bread. I don't eat bread a lot, and I don't eat a lot of dairy products either. But if I say, okay, I'm going to have a pizza, then I always want to have a Pepsi with it. And then all of a sudden I want more, like you said, more. Oh, then 2 days later I'm like, oh, I think I want to get another pizza, where if I don't have it forever, I don't miss it.
That's right.
But if you start, it does, it's a mind,
It is the essence, I believe that this thing is the essence of addiction. And this is why
totally.
It's so totally difficult to crack, because it's nothing to do with us. It's not actually anything to do with
brain. And they say the sugar and the alcohol do the same thing in the body.
Yeah.
So that's why some people are more towards alcohol and some are more towards the sugar, but it's the same nung in the body.
At the same time, alcohol
and it's addictive.
Also contains traces of yeast.
Yep.
Because that's how it's made. So it's also like bringing in more recruits. It's good. You see, I did a meditation, you know, during this thing. I did a meditation, I want to speak to this thing. Let me speak to it.
Wow.
I thought, you know, what's its consciousness? And I connected with the consciousness, and I kind of got this personification of like, oh, I'm hungry. You know, and I'm lonely.
And then what are we?
It was hungry and lonely. Its feeling is
exactly.
Its status is of hunger and loneliness. Okay, so what?
And that's how you feel when you're in the process, because when you start feeling not good, what can I do to soothe it? What can I do to fill it? Mm. And I read tons of books about this before we ever put it into the nung form, you know, that they say, what are you feeding? You know, what are you feeding? And we're feeding the nung, and it's hungry and lonely.
Mm.
Wow, that's pretty good. JP, there's a new song. I've got the nung blues.
Well, you know, it's...
Yeah, that's funny.
So it's, you know... And the body does not need sugar. I mean, really, to run. And here's what I've noticed, right? Okay, so let's talk about, you know, what do you do about this thing? All right?
Okay.
Because it's... Okay, yeah. All right, so you starve it. And then you feel really, really crap. Really crap. Well, crap. And,
yeah.
You know, and then you think, oh, God, I need some help. just one little piece of ice cream. Just one little, you know. And then it just goes, you know, as you say, you just can't have one. It's like an alcoholic a smack addict or whatever.
Well,
sorry, Paul?
That's actually endorphins. Your brain's telling you.
Yeah, it gives you a high, a little bit of
exactly.
A
buzz. Exactly. It's a chemical high or a chocolate high, a coffee high. You know, there's all types of endorphins.
Actually, now you talk about coffee. I've run out of milk. I've run out of milk, but I do have one.
There's your addiction.
Yeah.
We've got you down pat now.
Oh, my addiction is tea.
I love tea.
Yeah, you just.
I drink tea. That's it. You know.
Yeah,
I've got it kind of pretty much.
Yeah, I have a quarter of a teaspoon of tea, but sugar in me tea and milk. But the funny part about it is I don't drink tea much either. I don't touch coffee. I don't drink tea. Hardly ever. I drink bubbly sodas and whatnot. My favorite is blackcurrant juices and all the other lovely stuff.
Oh, yeah, juices.
Ribena.
Oh, right.
I'm the juice man, so, yeah.
But, I mean, are you making your own raw juices?
Well, at the moment, I haven't got enough places to go get there, but I used to. But, we got really healthy juices in Australia, and they're not touched. So,
Do they still have the enzymes? They say if it still has some of the enzymes, and then it's not as bad, but just fruit cheese.
Yeah. No, that's the
honest
truth.
It's got a part of the... Yeah.
Good.
Those are hard to get over here in the manufactured unless you go to the, you know, farmer's market or make your own, because they put all kinds of... It's been sitting on the shelf forever, and then it has sugar in it and all kinds of crap you don't want, but it says healthy juice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you get confused by some of them. I try not to go for the ones... on the odd occasion, I'll buy one of them ones, because,
yeah.
It's juice, but a little bit of sugar isn't too bad, because I don't really put it in my body anyway, so... And if I'm working... Well, hey, sugar rush is all cool by me, because, you don't really feel it, but you've got a bit more energy to lift up heavier stuff, so all good.
So, meanwhile, back at the Nung.
In the Nung world.
Because we, you know, it is a real problem. I mean, Paul, living his elfy life in the outback. you got it down, mate. I know you're not in the outback, but you know, for theatrical license, you know. But what I'm saying is that you're actually doing it okay. You're not living the excessive sugar wheaty kind of life there, are you?
Yeah, you're doing good.
You're living like a caveman.
No, well, not really. I'm living life to my fullest. I've got grouse neighbours, and Mum's down at the moment, and she lives up at the country. So any time I need to escape and go say hello to wherever, it's great. I've got places, you know, where I, you know, have family and friends and the whole lot. Aww. It's great. I'm living the high life at the moment, but it took a long time to get here. So,
yeah.
But... it's all good.
Good on you, mate. Good on you.
Yeah.
Because we need people to say, look, I started out just like you, and look at where I am. That's what we're all doing, you know. And my show has been, look, I started out just like everybody else, and I'm still just like everybody else.
Don't pigeonhole me. I'm not near like anybody else.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, that I'm not, I haven't gone to university, I'm not Dr. Sean David Morton, you know, I'm completely the opposite. I'm, you know, I'm self-taught in everything that I do. You know, I make vast numbers of mistakes all the time, and I just have to, you know, just keep walking forward, because there's no point in trying to fix things.
It's funny, I went to Melbourne University for 2 years. Yep. And it was fun. I got paid to go there because I was a plumber.
Well, I went to University College in that case for 10 years.
You see?
Yeah.
So I actually just used to hang out with clever people, and I think I kind of osmotically gained a couple of IQ points. I don't know. But
you got the awareness. You got the awareness now, even more than when you started the show. Because when you first started this, you didn't have a name for the Nung or anything yet, right?
No.
You spread it on, so the awareness is the start, then making the different choices and finding ways to do it, and especially in a world that doesn't support that.
Exactly. You know? So yeah, let's just talk about what the world does not support, it's basically for some reason it's like the big elephant in the room that sits between. On the sofa, on one side, Big Pharma, and on the other side, the food industry. Because
it seems to separate the two.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. The big elephant can sit on the sofa, which is Big Pharma in that, but a little mice will scare an elephant.
That's true.
So, yeah. So that's a, you know, funny pun, just to put that in. That's us, you know. the little people. Aha, we're only a little mouse, but there's lots of us.
So, so what's happening is that the this thing is being, you could say, covered up or hidden, but it's certainly not discussed and not linked together with these things that people call diseases.
And
I don't think they're diseases.
A little bit, but not commonly.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, here's the thing, right? I was suffering from headaches, but my problem wasn't my head. You see? It was my stomach. But it's because my stomach had been so overused, overstimulated and beaten down that it was numb to the nung. And perhaps that's also something that it does, is that it kind of jacks into the nervous system and anesthetizes various parts of you. That's what
it does.
Parasites do,
that's
isn't it?
That's the soothing part or the high. It can go either way. It can either make you zony or it can make you hyper. It usually doesn't make you depressed, but then, then the next day you might feel depressed when the, you know, the effect wore off or whatever. It is. It's like a drug in a way.
Yeah, you get the come down, and it's like 2 days as well, because you get the come down the first day, and then the second day you get the body, and by which time most people have gone back into the cycle and taken
more.
That's
what I was going to say earlier. Yeah. I find if I can go 3 days without soda, I got it. As long as I don't have another one ever, which obviously has not worked yet. But I can go long periods of time, but I really have to be conscious of it and make it a decision and say that's treating myself well, because I'm not really treating myself. If that is not a treat, that's like a poison, but I am still battling it.
Yeah, well, realize that you're feeding the nung. You're not feeding you.
I am.
You know, it might be an inner child that you're treating.
Exactly.
And
I think I'm going to do what you did. I've talked to my inner child, but I need to talk. Maybe I'll go in and talk to the nung consciousness. I've never done that. That's pretty interesting to me.
Now, don't forget that you mustn't try and kill it. You want to talk to it. You want to integrate it.
Right.
So let's just talk about this, because we're going back into this realm of the elephant in the room, which is disease. The elephant in the room is disease, because disease, to a large degree, is mainly the effects of this. What we call disease, many levels. I'm not saying every disease. I'm not saying it's the panacea, but it's like if you took this thing away, if you dealt with this thing, then a lot of problems would go away by themselves.
And this also, but what about people who work with carcinogenics through their life, like asbestos or oils and stuff like that, like I have through my life, but that's why I try to keep healthy and a whole lot.
All right, well, that's very sensible, because you know, you're not wanting to add to the distress. Everything, all these things are pointy and sharp and edgy. You see, and that's what your body is, very soft and gentle and not used to these harsh things. And what it does is that if something harsh comes to it, it causes inflammation. Everything swells up. So some people might think that they're bloated, but they're actually inflamed. And that's the thing about sugar, is that if you have inflammation, say you've got an abscess in your mouth and you eat some sugar, that abscess will flare up.
Right.
Yeah, did you know about pH levels in the body, acidic levels in the body?
Yeah.
I've listened to this and totally through Revolution Radio, and we'll do a plug. Thank you for Revolution Radio for down in Melbourne Town. Cheers. We are the sponsored radio from you, who listens and who talks. And yes, we need donations, because we are the only radio sponsored place with no ads except for our own. But yes, go for it, JP.
Thanks very much. I also, you know, recommend the seed pack. The seed pack special is always a good one, especially this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere. And you could buy it for your southern Antipodean friends. It costs a lot to send it overseas. You know, Hawk's a bit loath to send things out, but it costs about $20 extra. So, but anyway, that's what you have to do. But otherwise, just send some stuff with PayPal and be done with it, and support us and enjoy us for longer, because if you send us money, then we can keep going longer. Meanwhile,
So, JP, about the elephant, and you're right, it's propaganda or it feeds. The food industry and the drug industry are very dependent on this because it can make us sick. You know, so, and we're buying their food, then we buy their drugs, and it's just a way of disempowering ourselves, really.
Yes, indeed. So, and basically, you know, they're stealing from both ends. You know, so
they exactly. You know, they get it on both sides of it, right?
Yeah.
I've got a good story actually for this one.
Go ahead.
All China is buying our fresh produce and then selling back their stuff to us in juice bottles and stuff. So, yeah, don't buy anything from China. I always go locally anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Because I've been through the rigmarole of growing up, I know what meat's meat. I know how it's cut. Sorry for me mum coughing in the background, but yep. I worked in abattoirs of emu popped, which is cutting cauliflowers and broccoli and the whole lot, and you know, for we're coming up to a break. I'll get back.
Okay, so we're still waiting for the for Studio A to come. That'll start. It's in any second now. So yes, indeed. Ah, yes. So
thanks for having me on. It's been fantastic, JP. A long time no talk to, but yeah, every now and again, I enjoy myself.
Yeah, it's always good, nice for you to drop in. Always, I love having you know this big kind of round the world thing. Going on.
Oh no, isn't it fantastic when you can bounce off America, Australia and, you know, the US of A?
There we go. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned. Yes, good afternoon, good evening and good morning. And happy lunchtime to those in Australia. Are you on the east or west, Paul?
I'm on the east side.
East. So that's like Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
Victoria, right. Melbourne.
Victoria, Melbourne. So, yeah, so do you have different time zones in Australia, or is it just the one?
No, we got different. South Australia's about an hour and a half, and then Perth's 2 to 3 hours. It just depends if we're daylight saving or not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Goody good. So, welcome everybody to... this is a combined Studio A and Studio B simulcast with Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, probably Haggy Shack Radio, and whoever's listening. So, very nice. Thanks very much for joining in the chat room there at Wolf Spirit and Revolution Radio. Anybody wants to join me, you know the numbers. They'll probably not get through. Actually, how did you get through, Paul?
I went through Skype. I've got you as a personal contact. So, that's all cool. But if you go through Studio A or Studio B, definitely you could get JP. Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a poet, I don't know it.
So, hang on, Deb, you were talking just before the break, weren't you?
I was. Oh, about the food industry and
That's right, the elephant, yeah.
Pharmaceutical. And you know how much, I don't know other countries, but America, we've got a big diabetes and overweight problem here. Big. So, it's, there's many of us with this issue. And growing.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's the issues, right? So one of the issues is that, all right, here's the thing. Sugar craving. Okay. So you eat lots of sugar. When you eat lots of sugar, it brews into alcohol. The alcohol eventually turns to vinegar. Your body becomes acidic. You then need to balance, your body then says, ah, my blood is acidic, I must go and get some calcium. So it goes to your bones and says, hello bones, remember that calcium that I locked away all those years ago? Can I have it back now? And the bones say, oh yeah, well okay, sure, since you're beating me up if I don't. So the body extorts calcium from your bones and gives it to the Nung parasites. Is everybody starting to see the parallel here? And then eventually you end up with what's called bankruptcy or calcium bankruptcy or osteoporosis. Because you've got no calcium left because your bones have been giving all of their stuff to neutralize all of the acidic from the sugar.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, because the minerals help neutralize it, right? Like the boron, the calcium, the magnesium help neutralize the acidity.
Yeah, in general. But
well, absolutely. Yeah. And fresh veggies does that all the time because fresh vegetables, especially high in iron, will reduce that. And, well, hopefully.
And the chlorophyll in it also kills it.
Yeah, the chlorophyll's a really green agent.
Yep.
So anything green and lean, eat it. You know?
That's the key, I think. I need to get back on that with the smoothies and, you know, make your own, but not just the juice. I used to do it with the I can't remember what it's called, the machine that pulverized the whole thing. So you were getting the fiber with it too. Because it breaks down the cell wall so you can digest it. Hard to digest that cellulose.
Yeah, that's called a blender.
And it's got all the minerals, too, like you said. Yeah.
If you blend it all. But personally,
so
I
maybe
like
vegetarian is on the way to being vegetarian.
Oh, no. I like me, eat me meat. What I do with, I do cave, well, old-fashioned cave school, right? Charcoal and wood. And I go out the front and let all my people around that know I'm cooking something really, really delicious. And, I make all their mouths water, and then they do it back to me. I go, oh, bugger, I've got to set up my barbecue. But, always fresh veg, and, you just got to, I always drink lots of water. To flush all toxins out, so. But yeah. I don't know anything, I'm only 41.
Yeah, you sound like you're doing good.
So.
Jippy?
When we look at how this thing gets in our bodies, right? We looked at it, it gets in the gut. It's what people call leaky gut syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like holding the doors open. So that's the first thing that needs to be, well, you know, you have to stop. See, if you stop eating the wheat, that stops the gut from leaking, allows the gut to heal itself. Wheat also contains a lot of glyphosate. And that's the thing that's really making people ill. And that's the thing that's really causing all these, you know how you got all these new diseases that have got these funny names? You know, most of them really are the symptoms of poisoning by various pharmacochemicals, but nobody dare say that because they will get killed, as a lot of nutritional doctors are doing so at the moment. And so, you know, obviously, because I'm not a doctor, I can say whatever I like. Because I'm just making myself healthy. I'm not a doctor. I'm trying to eliminate doctors because all they seem to do is want to kill you. Like everybody else who's a professional. You know, have you ever noticed all these guys in suits? Anybody in a suit just wants stuff off for you. No, they will never want to give you anything. Nobody in suits gives you stuff. People in suits take stuff from you.
I think it's called the powers of arrest when you think you're in a suit or whatnot, or you're better than they are.
It's hubris. It's called hubris.
I know. It's so mucked up and it's so funny. If you wear a suit or, you know, say something like police, right, you've got the power of everybody in your palm. And that's so funny. I say to them, you're only human too. And that's it. And everyone should get along.
Or even a white coat, right? Suit, white coat, any kind of uniform that sets you apart.
Yeah.
A priest outfit, any kind of uniform, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, so, because it gives you this separation from, you know,
elitist.
We wear different
right.
clothes. So, yes. Oh, look at that picture. Oh, marvelous picture there.
Yeah, I know, I'm a pain in the butt on that one, because I actually helped them, because I'm a security guard. Oh,
yeah.
Yay! No, no, that's a pain. But I'm a welder, I'm a mechanic, and I'm also an underpinner, and yeah, I've done lots of stuff, but yes. But if you can't beat them, join them a little, and say, when you're together, you can actually say, personally, the middle finger.
Thank you very much. So yes,
nicely though.
Yeah, yeah, nice, and a very pleasantly, gently raised middle finger. Anyhow, without raising any more middle fingers, we're joined by Lisa Melendez. Hello, Lisa. How are you, love?
Hi, it's a pleasure. How are you?
I'm well. We've been discussing the interdimensional galactic Nung. The threat of Lord Nung of the Sith. So, no, I'm not sure if you're aware of my little discourse on the Nung.
Absolutely.
Oh, you are. Oh, good.
Yeah, <absolutely. laughs>
don't want to have to refer to reiterate again. But yeah. So is this have you recognized it in your life? Are you becoming one with your Nung?
I wouldn't say becoming one, but I'm trying to eliminate some components of it. I recently attended a webinar with Dr. Axe, A-X-E.
Oh,
and, and it was actually free. And you just had to sign up for it. He did go over a few of the causes of leaky gut, including GMO foods, antibiotics that are often prescribed, which lead it to an imbalance of the good probiotics in the system. And gluten obviously causes a lot of inflammation, which can lead to problems in the thyroid. And he also talked about processed sugar turning into yeast and turning into candida, which is rife for lots of diseases in our system. So in order to keep our immune system healthy, what we really have to do is keep our GI tract healthy, you know, not putting all these poisons in our system that can make us prone to these types of problems and adverse reactions from glyphosate. And now the new one on the block is that it's a larvicide that they're spreading, and for some reason they're saying that the Zika is caused by that. Oh. I'm also hearing TDAP vaccine for pertussis could be a cause of that. So I mean, they're really, really poisoning us. So it's just important to stay informed as we can.
And to, you know, do what you can to remain pure of these things. Now, it's really difficult, particularly in the States. You know, you guys are, you jag before you can even say stop that. You get like, how many jags do you get before you're like a day old? Something just
ridiculous.
And, you know,
it's increased. It's significantly increased, and so has the autism rates and all these other neurotoxin-induced illnesses.
Well, you jag a kid with mercury and they're going to go three steps to tomorrow, you know.
Exactly. No. Stop vaccinations.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Well, I actually heard...
taking tablets, stop vaccinations. Sorry, Liz, Lisa.
That's okay.
But, yeah, the funny part about it is, the more you take, the more you get dependent on. So, up to you.
Do you ever feel like it's like we're being mutated? That, like, is that part of the plan? Like, is there an us against them? Or I'm always wondering what's going on.
That's actually Lisa's. That is absolutely Lisa's remit. Do you want to have a comment on that, Lisa?
Okay.
Yeah, we are being mutated. Our DNA is being mutated as we speak. Yeah. Certainly not for the positive. Mm-mm. You know, even Alex Collier was talking in his recent webinar about how we used to be able to produce vitamin C until our genetics were tampered with so many thousands of years ago. But now we have to ingest it in other forms. So this you can consider being a descent towards needing additional nutrients, but created outside of us that we have to depend on a big pharma and big agra to so-called provide it.
Do you think ultimately, though, that perhaps we don't need any of that and that this is going to somehow force us into figuring out how to remain in body without the need for any external, or if that's even possible?
Well, the problem with that is that I see that they're testing, even in Australia, that they're currently... I heard rumors that they were going to just put vaccinations in the chemtrails. So for even anybody who opposes that, too bad.
Right.
Get
you
it in the chemtrails anyway.
So there is a move towards what they call transhumanism, which is essentially trying to replace this wonderful organic rebellious it's not really rebellious, it just doesn't like to, it's self, you see, the human being essentially is self-motivated, you know what
and
you
we
want,
generally want to do good,
you want to do nice things, you want to serve, you want to make something that fills gaps. I was speaking last night to an amazing guy called Wynn Keach on Everbeyond Radio.
Yeah, that was good.
And he invented some of the things that you know, he's bought us at least 7 to 8 years of time for the New World Order, because he invented the chip and pin process. You know, when you do your credit card and you punch in the four numbers, if he hadn't invented that, then we would have already been fingerprint and retina scans for your credit cards.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So that's his level of service. And he's also now looking at ways of creating heat and light for very poor people everywhere, using the wind, not just solar, but also wind. He's come up with a brilliant wind turbine design. So I'll probably put that on YouTube, actually. That's a great show. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it was great.
Brilliant.
So meanwhile,
well,
go ahead,
actually,
Phil.
Besides solar, right, and wind, you actually can, there's an old TV called a Fresnel lens. You know the old projection TVs? You can actually find one of them on the street, hopefully. Probably not now, but yeah.
you look for old schools that are chucking out their stuff. Are you calling an overhead projector? And
no, a Fresnel lens. It's
A Fresnel lens is a flat lens. It's like just a few mil thick, but it does have the magnification of something that's like about 3 inches thick.
Well, actually, it's got almost a thousand times of your good old
magnification.
Old school magnifying glass.
Yeah,
but yes,
the way it does it slices the curve up into concentric rings, so that you don't have to have all the lens. It just puts the curve into the plastic. It's very cleverly done, that's how they compress the lens.
Isn't that fantastic? And then they've got three other magnifying lenses that do red, green, and blue. I know, I've got lots of them. The funny part about it is, when you actually focus a Fresnel lens onto something, you can instantly boil water and sterilize water.
Wow.
Or turn it into steam, and therefore you can actually create a steam turbine or a steam generator of some sort. The favorite of mine is Stirling engines. Now, the Stirling engine is one of the world's best engines. It doesn't work on bugger all. 9 out of 10 times, if it's properly sealed, it's got a noble gas in it to keep it cool in the operational side. But then the focal point keeps it running. And all done by sunshine. But then we got geothermic too. But that's another scenario for later. But Fresnel lenses are fantastic.
So, meanwhile, the transhuman agenda.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the idea that our lovely human organic physical bodies are just kind of not quite up to scratch. And we need something a little kind of more technical. Eventually, by the plan is 2045, right, to make the human environment so toxic and disgusting that people will choose to go into a body that is, it's GMO, it's proof from toxins, it doesn't mind, it can breathe polluted air, it can drink polluted water, it's altogether more tough. But what you'll find is when your soul enters that body, it's completely trapped. And you have no free will. It's like being in a Dalek machine body.
So there's no way we can do this organically.
Actually, I've got a good statement and a good scenario of that. 20 years ago when I was growing up and this and that, people say, oh, Paul, you got to do body lifting and this and that, you know? And then, if you put these anabolic steroids in you, you get huge. I go, to my friends who were back in the day, they're not living now. They all died. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Was it pumping iron and anabolic steroids and up to them? But the funny part about it is I go, no, I don't want to do anything like that, especially. I've seen what it can do to my old man of other substances, and no, it's not right. So it was funny watching these poor idiots, well, were friends, but well, obviously they kicked the bucket. So hey, it depends on what you do through your life, on how you live your life, on the way as you get older. Personally, I want to live to at least 80.
You think? That's pretty young.
Well, if I hit the 80 mark, I can actually do another 20, but That's well, later.
I hope that I survive.
I don't like your lovely lady who sits on the throne. So, but yeah, that's another topic altogether.
Yeah, well, we don't have to worry about her or it. So it would be, you know, let's keep focused, because one of the things that a nun does. The nun is, you know, just the same as the devil.
Doesn't like to be acknowledged.
Exactly. It always distracts you from itself. It's always a look over there. It's a divide and rule kind of thing, which is another trademark of the powers that be, which, you know, just
exactly. Says.
So, yeah, staying focused. We need to avoid the scenario, therefore, of moving into these, you know, non-human bodies. So, number one, we have the amazing ability to manifest. We all do, and we do it all the time, except what we're manifesting is all of our fears and worries. Because that's what we put so much energy and emotion into. And so, if you, I mean, here's the thing, right, let's just bust a couple of New Age myths. There is a New Age myth that if you think if you talk about negative things, you talk about scary things, you're gonna manifest the scary things. Because we manifest, right? So people talk about scary things all the time. Or they deny everything and talk about oofy-floofy things that have no substance. Because underneath they're really scared, and that's what's getting put out, which is why they're continually kept in a state of being frightened about things. So my attitude really is it's best to know rather than be afraid of.
Exactly.
So,
I agree.
So you know, people are afraid of disease. All right, let's know what disease is, and then when you realize what you're missing is that we're forever focused on disease and we're never focused on health. And right. hence the whole attitude of Australian Paul here. He's focused on health rather than trying to fix
in
the disease.
In Australia, actually, with our Channel 2, we had Healthy Mind, Healthy Body and Eating Well. Peter Russell Clark, who was so funny, he, you know, this is when I was growing up, like 8, mm-hmm. to 15. Great show. Learned and taught us heaps. Because Australian culture was trying to be an elitist and to show the world. You know, because apparently we're a bunch of bloody convicts. So, yeah, but it's all cool. We're not that bad. But yeah, we are still a bunch of convicts, so that doesn't really matter.
That's all right. I like Australians. So listen, here's the thing. You know, in the last half hour, how do we deal with this parasite? All right? How do we deal with it? I tell you, I've got several ways. And you can approach this thing in various ways. But the first approach you have to make is that you're realizing that you're having to connect with it. You're going to have to talk with it. You're going to have to have conversations with it. And as you understand that you can have a conversation with something that is inside you and yet is not you, you can realize that you can talk to other parts of you. And you can then say, oh, I can speak to my nung, I can speak to my stomach. Oh, what do you really want? Oh, I'm sorry about the curry last week. You know, yes, it was a bit strong, wasn't it? You know, things like that. And you can get a council together of all your bodies, your emotional body. You know, how do I feel about this? What do I think about this in my mental body? How is this going with my soul intention, your personality body? How does this serve humanity? That's your soul. You know, how does this serve the plan? That's your monad. You can apply your criteria to that, and then you'll determine what is true, what is real, what you should do and what you shouldn't do, and what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. So here's the thing: how do we deal with it? Well, we can't kill it, because killing it is a separative thing, and that starts karma. which brings it all the way back to us even worse. So, we have to integrate it. You either kill something or you integrate it. And this is, again, you can scale this up. You know, you have a, you either kill your enemy or you get their point. and so what you do, you can apply some, you know, chemical attack, right? They don't like an alkaline atmosphere, and so you can make your body as alkaline as possible, and say, okay, well, look, I want to get rid of this. I want to, you don't serve me. Speaking to the Nung, you don't serve me. I can't kill you. I don't want to kill you. So I want you to go to a place where you're not going to cause any more harm, and where you're not going to cause any more varied thoughts that will make you grow again. And I want you to behave yourself for the rest of my life. And then when I die, you can go to hell. You can go to town. Sorry, you can go to hell. You can go to town and have my body, and you can eat my body, but only when I'm dead. And until that time, you wait. And this is the kind of conversation you can have with your body parts. And it's incredible that it does, you know, they actually, behave themselves.
But I just have a question. Wouldn't that encourage the Nung to try and kill you quicker if you promise it something at the end?
It's not that clever. Blimey. Maybe it is. Maybe it is, but...
Seriously, in some parts in South America, that's already done. How much did you want to get sold for? But the funny part about that one is, when you're dead, up to you. But if you want to give you organs and this and that, the other, personally, I'll go feed myself with sharks or something silly. But definitely not going to get experimented on me.
Okay, so you're not going. Go ahead, Lisa.
I was just going to say, you were talking about dismissing some of the New Age community so-called truths. And you went on a point about talking regarding of the things that people say, that what you don't know can't hurt you, and that's not really true. You know, we really have to educate people and tell them what they don't know can actually kill them. So it's really important to be well informed, and it may be on a negative topic per se, but it's important to be informed because you really have to know all this information in order to protect yourself, in order to be proactive.
It's because we have to level up every year. You know, we have to go, you know, every year is a new level in the game. Sometimes, you know, right. it's getting faster and faster, but yes, every year you have to know more of the bigger picture for yourself than you did the year before. If you don't, you're going backwards and you're not evolving. Because we've got to evolve so much further than this. You know, because the picture is so much bigger, and we've really got a large number of steps to take. And these are some of the first even baby steps. Debrielle, you were speaking.
I think maybe where it got swayed is we do need the awareness, but to not focus on that totally, like take in the whole picture. So that element of the New Age totally discounts that part of the awareness, but it needs to be there, but maybe our entire focus does not need to be on it at all times. But we do need to be aware of it. So it's just the way the terminology and the way certain people took off with that way of thinking kind of got misdirected or something. I don't know. Yeah, we definitely need the awareness of it. But some people focus on that element of it all the time in the excess. So
So there's always that balance and taking in the whole picture, I think, maybe.
I think it's very important and crucial for us to view things objectively with loving detachment. We can view the bigger picture as a whole without having to put our emotions into it.
Right, because, and the fear,
the fear which can produce a disease in our system. But if we just view it objectively and see, okay, what can I do to really be well informed but without allowing that fear to control me? I think it's the way to go with this.
It's the it's this whole thing about, you know, don't talk about evil because it'll happen, you'll bring it on. But most of the time, it's everything they say is fear-based anyway. And it's only when they hear other people...
Well, the fear of the evil that'll bring it
exactly.
on. By not talking about
exactly.
it, you're afraid of it.
Here's the thing.
In a way.
This is how easy it is. This is how subtle it is, right?
Yeah.
You know this whole thing about if you burn yourself, you're going to have a blister. You know? Or if you go in the cold, you'll catch a cold. With your hair wet, that's right.
Oh yeah.
These things only happen when you remember that little thing. If you don't remember that little thing, you will never get a blister and you will never get a cold. And I actually felt that little thing happened. I can't remember what it was a few months ago, and I felt that, and it's such a tiny little feeling. It's so tiny you don't notice it. It's like that tiny little...
cellular boardroom.
One at a time. Lisa, please.
It's a cellular program.
Cellular program. Paul, please.
I know. Yeah, it's called a splinter, and it's bloody annoying. It's this irritating little feeling, and then you look, and it's under your skin, and anything that gets under your skin, even mentally, sort of really sticks there and stays in it. Doesn't want to come out, especially like a splinter.
That's
I know.
I know, too. I had a splinter in my thumb this morning, and I pulled it out with my hemostats. It was very painful to come out as well. It wasn't nice.
Okay,
exactly.
Am I delusional with this thought? Because I keep coming back to this in my own mind, but I don't... The nung has probably got me confused. But you know how yogis can actually take... you know, have a burn or even cancer of skin and then turn the area just with their awareness and their communication with their being back to non-cancerous or non-blister.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I just feel like somehow, and that's what you're kind of on to, talking with the nung and the non-separation, I kind of feel, which I don't know why, so it may be delusional, that we can do this on this planet with ourselves, with each other.
Absolutely.
No matter
Debril,
what
were you not
going
listening?
On.
Were you not listening to Sean's show?
No, I missed some of it.
All right, because
that's why I didn't know you were on A. I thought
right.
you were on B.
I'm on A and B. I'm universal.
Oh, okay, that's what.
I'm on A,
okay,
B, A, Wall Street, Radio,
what?
Everywhere.
What was?
I am.
What did I miss?
Well, he actually exactly told us exactly how you heal, which is you connect with the person's soul, their hologram, and you go back in time to when they were healthy. And you re-vibrate their body with that vibration that you've connected with, and voila, they're the same as they were when they were there. And that's the same, exactly.
Yeah, because we can do that, and then we can stay organic and not go transhumanism, even though that may be one
right.
direction. I just feel like we don't have to make that
We choice. Absolutely do not, and we absolutely must not. This is the mark of the beast.
Right.
This is the mark of the beast. You know, it's not the barcodes, it's not your bloody, you know. This is the mark of the beast. Because you, in a robot body, you're trapped.
Yeah.
And you cannot do anything but evil, you know, because you're no longer serving humans. You're
Whatever
serving a self whether it's somebody else's self, you know, or whatever. But anyway, let's...
You're no longer connected to source.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Here's how you dissolve this, right?
And, okay.
In some of my... It happened the last week and the first time in my work, and that's why I needed to call on Dan McBoylan a couple of weeks ago. Because this is about the AI and being able to shut it down, delete itself, and uninstall itself.
Right.
Sorry, wrong order. Shut down.
I've done that. I've used that.
It works. Shut down, uninstall, delete. Just look in the mirror and say to all AI in my body, shut down, uninstall, delete.
Will that work with the Nung too? It's not quite the same. They have an AI element.
I am not sure whether the Nung will respond to a command.
I don't think mine have yet.
because it's too basic for a command. It's just like, it's a machine intelligence. It's like, I'm hungry and I'm lonely.
Okay.
Yeah, that it's just a bunch of feeling stuff that, you know, just goes around looking for itself and looking for food. Poor old Vanessa, she's listening to the show. And every time she gets engaged, the phone rings and somebody wants to talk to her. Oh, right, it's Wally. Hang on a second, let me see. It's just... Wally lad, Wally lad. Evening, Wally.
Well, JP.
How are you, brother?
It's wonderful. Well, I shouldn't say that. Mona's probably listening. I'm fantastic. We got to remember, we speak what we are, so... But it's really interesting, just listening to the last caller there before I had to shut that off and pop on here, which was a few minutes difference. But, you know, it's really strange of the things that are happening right now. And on Sean's show, you brought him up to her on another thing, is the timeline. Where was our timeline hijacked?
Mm.
Right, well... There are many theories on this, and some people have memories of things that happened, and some people have memories that were wiped, and some people can't remember, and some people won't remember, and some people don't want to remember and don't want to talk about it. But I think it's my task to bring each of the pieces of this enormously shattering, fragmenting event together, and so that we at least get an idea of what one part of the story looks like. Because, as I said, you know, we each focus on our own little world until you realize that there are others who are focusing on the same things, and then join groups, and then you realize, oh, there are other things that are focusing on, oh, GMOs and chemtrails and government corruption and the picture gets bigger and bigger, and the puzzle joins up until you finally see that, holy crap, we're on a farm. It's a university farm. It's an experimental university farm that still sells product.
Money.
You know, energy. Soul energy.
Okay.
Soul energy. That's essentially the product that is traded from the planet.
And genetics.
And our ability to evolve ourselves. And then they rip us off for our creative genetics. So, Lisa... would you like to talk a little bit about those kind of things? Again, you've got some
regarding our timelines.
Well, yeah, actually, do you want to talk about timelines, genetics, what you've seen? You know, our world history has been.
Well, Well, timelines have always been changing, and it's always continuing. Sometimes it can be in a small way, like I thought that person had passed away, you know, or it can be in a huge way where there was testimony of a woman in the early 1900s that she remembers that the South had actually won the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And she swore to that till her deathbed that the South had actually won. And she remembered the war in the 18, 1860s ending a different way than what is popularly known.
So that blows our idea of an objective reality out the window, doesn't it?
Right.
Oh, this is what they're calling the Mandela effect. I've heard that term. They call it the Mandela effect, where certain people, like names of movies, different things have even been altered, or people remember them different ways and will swear to it.
Yeah, or Mandela died years ago and didn't die last year, which is which is where it all came from. Like, oh, I thought he did. No.
he died twice in that one year.
So, Lisa, yeah.
That's crazy.
He died twice in that one year. He died in June, and I think they kept him on ice until December, where they did that big ritual where they had 90 of the world's leaders attend this lavish 10-day funeral or so. And they also attended, I think it was December the 16th, where they attended this ceremony in this ancient building in South Africa. And I think it was Marduk, rumors allegedly. You know, I wasn't there. I can't say 100%. But
This has been going on ever since the Civil War, then, you're saying. I mean, so
no, it's been going on before. It's been going on.
Even before.
Waterloo.
Okay.
I mean, it's been going on before.
Wow.
For thousands of years.
Okay.
How do they change a timeline?
Yeah.
They keep interjecting. I mean, imagine if Kennedy wasn't killed, how that would have changed our timeline. The Vietnam War wouldn't have happened the way it did. The military and industrial complex probably would have been cold. And also, we probably would have had a gold-backed currency. So a lot of things would have changed, and not something that the cabal necessarily would have wanted to have happened. So, you know, at that time, they did have looking glass technology and the yellow cube to kind of peer into the future. And they saw that Kennedy had to go.
Because they would have different timelines according to different parameters. However, most of the parameters that were applied by military-minded people and not by people who had the interests of the seventh generation. That's where we've got to go. We have to really, you know, stop every decision that we're making and think, is this going to benefit my great-great-great-great-grandchildren or their friends? You know, will they have any friends if I do this?
In Australia, we had Harold Holt back in the day, in World War II, and Harold Holt done the bolt. Amazingly, it could have been a Russian submarine or a great white shark, but no one knows. It's all a conspiracy. But yeah, it's funny. It just depends on how many people were going to listen over the time. And it's funny. What I say, he was our best prime minister. He had a long, long, long walk off a short, short pier and disappeared. Wish the rest of them would do it too.
Can we push him?
So, timelines, yes, indeed. When I read Die Glocke, which is this book all about the secret Nazi research, we were 1 month away. I'm not kidding, brothers and sisters. We are 1 month away. They said 6 months. They're just being kind. We were 1 month away from the Germans having a weapon that could deploy, let's say, a neutron bomb over Washington with no warning whatsoever. It would teleport.
No, it wasn't the Bell. It was actually the long-range fighter.
They have everything. They had everything. But they were 1 month away from being able to deploy this Bell creating a wormhole which would deploy something terrible, you know, a zombie bomb over Washington. That was their aim. That's how close we were to that parallel universe. Now, because we were so close, and there were people with that kind of intent, those people perhaps exist on that timeline where they actually won. Just think about it. Whatever you put your mind to, you get to that timeline, you get to that destiny.
Yep.
And here's another thing, that there's a kind of ideal organic timeline for each and every one of us. And if we make a choice to do something towards that timeline, to make some, because it's the best timeline for us, that's the most flowing, that, you know, what would be best, what would we love, all of those things, how would we, you know, would we enjoy our friends, how would we be generous, you know, what would make us generous, what would make us into great people, you know, how, you know, and we've overcome a lot of the challenges through all the stuff that we've been through, so now we can go through it and say, okay, let's go into that and create the world by putting your focus and intent. And you can do it. And in the same way that you can give yourself a cold, you can give yourself a happy life. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's what we've... This is what the powers that be have hacked into our ability to do. And part of what I want to do is to remind everybody that if you can do it with a cold... All right, so hands up. Who has ever given themselves a cold or given themselves some kind of psychosomatic situation? Hands up.
You know, mom!
Totally.
Oh, mom!
Hands up.
Chicken pox!
I had
chicken pox parties, because if you get chicken pox when you're little, you don't get it when you're older and you don't become sterilized.
I think.
I'm just laughing in the background right now.
Try not to shout, Paul, please.
I think also if you're highly empathic to those people around you who you care, you can also take on some of their own symptoms. If somebody you really care about has a headache or has a knee pain, if you're highly empathic and intuitive, it seems like you pick that up, and sometimes you can't differentiate if it's really you or if it's coming from someone else. But if you learn to discern and hone in on that, eventually over time you can see, no, that's not mine. And you could see as towards how to eliminate that from you and kind of help them heal and send them loving, healing light.
Lisa, that's one of the problems that I have, and asking about the timeline is just everything has pretty much gone blank. I'm not able to meditate, vision. I used to have, what do you call that when you imagine? Imagination. it's just all black now. I'll lay and try to meditate, and I don't go anywhere. I've tried meditation, and it's just, that's why I think the timeline has been changed.
Wally, can you breathe all right?
I breathe fine.
Can you breathe in through your nose?
I can breathe fine through my nose.
Can you breathe out through your mouth?
I can breathe wonderful out through my mouth.
All right. Do that for 20 minutes. That'll change your life. That's meditation. I tell you, I've been thinking about this, and I want to just do a bit of phonetics here, okay? People talk about being inspired. People talk about aspiring. People respire. We breathe in, and we breathe out.
Okay, the funny part about that is, when you actually go scuba diving or whatnot, that's... called fluidation of oxygen in the lungs, and then you can actually hold your breath up to, I can do it up to 3 minutes.
No.
But yeah, I know people who can do it longer, but yeah, 41, I can still do it in 3 minutes. So,
Paul, yes, just a minute. Because you're very loud, when somebody's got their speakerphone open, you make a very loud sound. It kind of drops the sound, you know, so you get this big sound and then it goes to silence again. So can you say very slowly and calmly what that process was, something of oxidation?
Okay, the oxidation is breathing really huge and releasing and breathing for at least 3 minutes or so. So you get a lot of oxygen in your blood flow. There's medical terms for it. I don't know the correct terms, but what I know, it's oxidation, well, oxygen through your veins. And when you're actually underwater free diving, you can stay under the water for at least 2 to 3 minutes comfortable. You can push the limits if you like, but
Okay. Sorry, I really have to hurry, and I need to just move on because we got a couple of things that we need to tie up. Right. So, I was just saying that inspire is from the root of spirit, and breath. They call it the breath of life. When we inspire, we breathe in spirit. When we expire, we breathe out spirit. You see. Sorry to cut you off there, Paul, but I've got a couple of seconds and we need to bring in this final concept, which is, Lisa, quick, the World War II timeline. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I actually wanted to talk about something. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. It's called Project Southern Cross.
No, go ahead. Is this like in Fringe?
No, this actually happened. It's a sub-project that happened in...
We're out of time. Listen, Southern Cross, Project Southern Cross, people, look it up, and thank you so much. Lisa Melendez, Debrielle, Australian Paul, Wally Ladd. This was Laurie and Fenton Show. This was Journeys with JP. It's quite interesting.
Eyes open.
No fear. So this is so we now got to play it out on Studio B now so that nobody gets hurt. I think it's you're going to be followed by a mad painter here. He's got usually a very interesting guest. So yeah, the World War II Project Southern Cross on Revolution Radio. Perhaps Lisa, we should cover that in another show and on a, you know, on greater depth.
Mm-hmm.
The funny part about the Southern Cross is that's over my side of the world. The Southern Cross actually points to south.
That's right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, everybody. There we go. Project Southern Cross. Thanks a lot, Lisa. Thanks, everybody.